Well, it sure is good to see you this morning.
Romans chapter number 8. We're going to read a very familiar passage this morning. Romans chapter number 8, verse 28. And a little different take on what I usually preach when I go to Romans 8:28. I'm in a series, I guess is the fifth week probably, on the love of God, and I'm preaching and teaching on love, Bible love, and we're going to start springboard this morning from Romans chapter number 8, verse 28. So if you have a King James Bible, let's read together in unison, shall we? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the benefits of loving. The benefits of loving. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us. Please bless this, really a Bible study this morning on the blessings and the benefits of loving you and loving others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I think this is the fourth or fifth week now I've been teaching and preaching on the love of God and loving others. And do you love Jesus? How much you love Jesus? And this morning I have 13 points I'm going to give you right off the top of the bat, right off the top here, as we go before we go into the Bible verse this morning. And obviously with verse number, Romans 8, verse number 28, the first one is all things will work together for good, but it's contingent on you loving God. These are the blessings. These are the benefits of loving. So when I give you this list this morning, these 13 points here, these are the benefits of choosing to love the way God wants us to love. Number one, all things work together for good. Now, the world may not understand that, but if you love God, everything's going to work together for good. Might be sorrowful at times, might hurt at times, may not be what you want all the time, but God says all things work together for good to them that love God. So you have to love God in order for that to be true. Number two, time will fly by when you love God and others. Time will fly by. Verse number three, you'll have great peace. Great peace. Number four, people will use you, will hate you, be jealous and envious of you, be bitter against you, and will try to destroy you because you love them. I'm just telling you. We're going to read the verses this morning. Number five, point number five, point number six, rather. I'm sorry, I skipped four, didn't I? I said, number one, all things work together for good. Number two, time will fly by. Number three, you'll have great peace. Number four, nothing will offend you. Amen. Number five, people will use you and hate you. Number six, you'll have the ministry of reconciliation. Not gossiping, not slandering others, not whispering or separating friends. You'll bring people together. Seven, God will know you intimately. Yes, God knows everybody, but God will know you on a personal level that you didn't understand from before. Number eight, you will not expect anything back from any others, and you will be content with having just Jesus. I shouldn't say just Jesus, but you won't expect anything back from anybody if you love the way God wants you to love, and you'll be content. Number nine, you will increase in knowledge and judgment. Number 10, you'll have no fear. You'll be fearless. Number 11, it'll push us and pressure us to do more than we thought we could ever do before. There's things that you'll never be able to think that you would ever be able to do unless you fall in love with God and love God's word and love God and love people the way God says. You will go beyond your wildest expectations in your life, in your capacity to love people. 12, nothing God asks of you will be too hard. Nothing that God asks of you will be too hard. And number 13, at the end of the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be rewarded with crowns that you will give back to Jesus to show him and others how much you really love him. All right? The last one, lucky number 13, you'll be rewarded with crowns to give back to Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ when we all stand to give an account. All right? All right, first point, number one, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, if this wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe this kind of stuff. But God knows better than you and I know. And God made us, God created us, he created the earth, he created everything around us, and he knows what he's talking about when he says, all things work together for good if you love God. I don't care if you go. The reason you go to a hospital or the doctor is not for you. It's for someone else. The reason why some tragedy happens is not for you personally. It's to reach someone else that you would never have crossed paths with before. I think it's Philippians 1:12 says, all things have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel, Paul wrote. Philippians 1:12. So all these things that have happened to Paul have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. If you love God, you'll be on the lookout for lost people. I repeat that. So no matter what happens in your life, the reason you're wherever you're at, without you even realizing it, is because so that you can see somebody or meet somebody and give them the gospel. I don't care if it's a funeral. I don't care if it's a death. A near-death tragedy. Somebody gets hurt really bad. Somebody goes to the doctor or the hospital. But if you're away from God, you're not going to use those moments to reach other people. You know, there are doctors that need to be saved. There are nurses that need to be saved. There are ambulance drivers that need to be saved. And they're not going to hear the gospel until you open your mouth and tell them about Jesus. Amen. So all things. Look. You may be going through a bitter divorce. You may have to go to court. You may be forced to go to court. A lawyer needs to hear about Jesus. I guarantee you that much. I guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that a judge needs to hear about Jesus. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that people need Jesus. Amen. So wherever you find yourself in, it may be an untoward situation that you didn't plan, you didn't want, you didn't ask for, but God put you there. If you love God, it'll work out for good because maybe somebody will get saved and hear the gospel. Or maybe somebody hear the gospel and get saved. Amen? Amen. Point number two. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis 29. Genesis 29. I'll be honest with you. I cannot believe. I've been here for 31 and a half years, just about 31 years in New York State. And they have flown by, man. I've been pastoring now for 30 years, and it seems, I'll be honest with you, like last week, last month, or last year, it has never been a boring moment in my life, I'll be honest with you. It bothers me when I hear somebody says, well, I'm just too bored. I have nothing to do. You better get, you know what your problem is? You're not reading the Bible. You're not going soul winning. You're not in church. You're not helping in the ministry. You're not cleaning. You're not fixing. You're not encouraging others. There's no room in a Christian's life to be bored at all. If you're bored, there's something wrong with your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. If you love God, you'll get involved and do something to help somebody, amen? Hey, we have a Good Friday spaghetti meatball dinner coming up. Why don't you get involved, amen? Hey, we have a building that needs to be clean. Why don't you get involved, amen? I mean, we need people to go soul winning and knock on doors and visit the bus route. And hey, why don't you get involved? But when you say you're bored, man, it's an indication that you're so far away from God. Can't you read your Bible? I mean, you start reading your Bible, man, I don't know how you can put it down. All right, Genesis chapter number 29. You remember the story with Jacob here. He got hoodwinked. He got tricked, fooled, deceived, because he's a deceiver himself. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And in verse number, he was deceived to marry Leah first. Remember that? And then he had to wait 7 years in order to marry the one he really wanted, was Leah's sister, Rachel. And he married both wives. And it says here in verse number, chapter number 29 and verse number 20, look what it says. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. He said, because he loved Rachel so much, those 7 years, you would say, well, 7 years is a long time. Well, not if you love God, not if you love your wife, not if you love whatever you want. It's not a long time. You know, I was talking to my wife more and more. We're talking about this, you know. We've been married for 35 years, man. And I'm telling you, it was like yesterday. 35 years with the same woman. Pray for me. Actually, I ought to pray for my wife being married to me for 35 years, amen. But I'm just saying, for 35 years, it doesn't seem like it's 35 years. I'm just saying, if you enjoy one another and love one another and you love God, you know, it'll go by like this, go by like that. The church is the same way. Life is the same way. But when you're dragging and you're being forced to, and you have to do it, you know what? Then it's going to be boring. It's going to be a difficult time for you. Jacob, the Bible says, for 7 years, he thought it was just a few days for the love that he had. Hey, if you're going to live, you might as well enjoy the life that God gave you, amen, and do it within God's guidelines in the Word of God. And everybody can wait till Jesus comes, amen. Don't tell me you can't wait. If you love Jesus, you'd wait. I can't take it anymore, Pastor. You don't know what I'm going through. Yes, you can. If you fell in love with Jesus Christ, you can make it, amen. You can last it, amen. All right? Number three, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I said point number one, all things work together for good to them that love God. You got to love God. Number two, time will fly by when you love God and others. Psalm 119. In verse 165, very familiar passage, verse here. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. That's what it says. You'll have great peace. The reason why people don't have peace in their heart and peace of mind is because they don't love the Word of God. And this is what God says. I didn't write it. This is what God says. You take this prescription, you take that drug, you take this pill, you go to see that doctor, you go to see this psychiatrist, this psychologist, this psychoanalysis, you go to all these doctors, all these specialists. Well, I don't have peace. I can't sleep. You know what you need? You need to fall in love with God and the Word of God. Amen. If you had two jobs, you fall asleep just like that when you come home, amen? But you know what? And you're lazy, you don't do anything. Then you have insomnia. Then what's wrong with me? I have a problem. You know, the problem is you're not in love with God. You're not in love with the Word of God. If you love God, you'd have great peace that passes understanding, the Bible says. I mean, there's going to be World War III going on outside, but you'll have peace in your heart. I got peace like a river, the Bible says. Amen. Where's that peace in God's people? Let me tell you something. Look, don't get mad at me this morning. This is why people... look for things to fill the void in their heart. That's where they take drugs and liquor and gambling and sports. You need a boyfriend. You need a girlfriend. You need some kind of addiction to fill up that void instead of having God fill that void. I'm just telling you. Great peace. I can't think straight. You know why? Because you don't love the Word of God enough. Great peace have they which love thy law. And point number four, nothing will offend them. That's what it says. And nothing shall offend them. We are living in a generation that everybody is fickle. Everybody's so thin-skinned. Everybody's so easily offended. I want my safe space, you know. Oh, don't say those words. I don't want you. Don't say those things. Don't be like that because you're hurting me. The reason people are like that because they're so immature. They're so childish. That's what I said this morning about we have these bunch of brats. You know what? This wasn't part of the sermon. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah. We're going to have a rabbit trail right here. Isaiah. We'll find it. Don't worry. Isaiah chapter number 3. Isaiah chapter number 3. Verse number 4. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. This is judgment hand of God. This is a curse of God on the people. Verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. Can you imagine adult people being afraid of children? How many times have you been in a supermarket somewhere and some 2 or 3 or 4 year old brat screaming at the top of their lungs, throwing a temper tantrum in front of their parent, mom or dad, and they have to shut the only reason they shut them up is by buying them some piece of candy. So, okay, just be quiet. Blessed be God, man. I can say this, man, my youngest is 23 years old. I told my kids, you ever act like that, man, you're gonna get the tar beat out of you get home, amen. I'm telling you, that's what happened. I looked at my kid, man, I don't care, we were out somewhere, I was smiling, you know, through my teeth. I said, I'm gonna kill you when I get home. Now, all adults are afraid. The children, listen to me good, the children are running the parents, the women are running the husbands, and everybody's afraid of what this little generation is going to do. Can you imagine 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, never been married, never had any children, never had a job, never paid a mortgage, never paid rent, never paid the utility bills? Are you paying attention this morning? And then you have the adults trying to listen to children ruining this country. You're listening to children how to keep us safe. You know why? You know why? Because their history class has been turned into social studies, socialism. They have not been taught history, what happened in China, what happened in Russia, what happened in Germany when they took away everybody's guns. So instead of being taught history, they've been taught socialism. And all the old adults say, oh, whatever the children want. You know, it's all for the children. Somebody ought to slap them upside the head and wake them up, man. But that's the state in the country that we're living in. Everything's run by what the children want. Like, you know, Johnny, what do you want for breakfast? Do you want Cheerios? You want Corn Puffs? The kid sits there and pouts. You have 3 or 4 different choices, you know, for these kids. And the parents sitting there say, what do you want, Johnny or Susie? What do you want to eat? What do you want to drink? You know what was in my house? You got what you got served, amen? Everybody ate the same thing. Now you give kids all these choices. You know, they don't know what they want. 12, 14-year-old. You think they know the answers to life? Can you imagine a 13, 14-year-old punk asking the other 13, 14-year-old punk the most important issues of life? What do you think about life? Huh? But that's what they're getting advice. And adults are listening to children. My Bible says, the people shall be oppressed, and everyone by a neighbor, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. That's what the Bible says. Verse number 12, look at this. As for my people, we're in Isaiah 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. You know what it is? Most of these kids were never taken and given a good whooping when they needed it, to be honest with you. That's what the problem is. And that, by the way, that's why the world doesn't want parents to spank their kids. I'm telling you, now we are being persecuted by DSS and Child Protective Services, and all the parents are afraid because the kids go to school and they said, if anybody touches you or spanks you, you call us, let us know, and call this number. And so the parents are afraid to touch their children if they misbehave. That's why I tell you, you ought to move out in the country, amen? Where the neighbors can't hear you, amen? I'm just telling you, that's what I did. That's exactly what I did. I don't care. All right, let's go back to the Bible study. Point number 5, amen? Take your Bible, please, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Bunch of punks never had a job. Never started a business, never paid taxes, never hired anybody, never had a deadline to meet as far as outside the world. All they had to do was study and read their books and go to class. And they said how difficult life is, being fed, being clothed, being housed, and then complaining on top of it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I really don't give a flip if this is popular or not popular, to be honest with you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 15. I think I mentioned this verse last week or 2 weeks ago, but it's important for this verse here, or for this Bible study here, verse number 15. No? Yes. Chapter 12, verse number 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's what Paul wrote. You got to realize, when you, and it's a decision, when you decide to love God and to love people, they're not going to love you back the way you love them. There's no way that we can love God the way he loved us. You live the best life you can, the most separated, holy life you can. You give everything to God, and it still will not match the love that God had for us. Hallelujah. And God loved us before we loved him. Amen. So if you want to love right, you got to expect that if you're going to love somebody, they're not going to love you back the way you love them. If you love them right. Look, if you're the right kind of parent, your children are not going to love you back the way you love them, because you're the one that sacrificed for them. You're the ones that gave your life for them. You're, the mother went to the gates of death to give them birth, to bring them into the world, and most of them don't even give a flip. So it's the mother that went to the gates of death just so they can bring the children to the world. Now, a child can't do that for their parent. A father's supposed to work, provide if he's able to put a roof over their head, put clothes on their back, put food on the table, and keep them safe, amen? That's what the father's job. My children are not supposed to do that for me. My children are not supposed to do that for my wife. Now, unless we're invalid or you know, and they take care of us later on. I'm just saying, it's the parents that are supposed to give to the children, amen? And I'm not talking about spoiling them and giving them what they want, giving them what they need. Well, here, Paul writes, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And by the way, they beheaded him. Nero beheaded Paul in Rome. Herod beheaded John the Baptist. Pilate crucified Jesus. Jesus is God. God is love, the Bible says. And you know what they did? They hated him because he told them the truth. You know, you love the verses like John 3:16. I'm not against John 3:16, please. But how about the verse where Jesus walked into the temple, overthrew the tables, overthrew the chairs, made that whip out of the cord, and chased them all out? How about those verses? How about the verse that God is a man of war? How about the verse where the Bible says that God is going to judge people and people are going to burn in hell forever? How about those verses? Well, God loves us more than we could ever love God. And if you ever decide to, you know what, husbands ought to love their wives more than the wives love their husbands. And wives ought to love their husbands more than the husbands love their wives. But here's what happens. I'll love you if you love me. I'll be good to you if you're good to me. I'll be kind to you if you're kind to me. That's not love of God. That's not godly love. That's a selfish, immature love. Hey, if you're going to love people, you're going to be willing to tell them the truth. That's what the Bible says. He said about Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Are you willing? If you love people, you would tell them the truth. If you went to a doctor's office and the doctor took a test and found out that you have cancer and he didn't want to tell you because he cared about you, how would you feel about that doctor? Well, I didn't want to break your heart. I don't want to get you nervous. I don't want you to get upset. I knew that you had cancer. I didn't want to tell you because I really care about you. I don't think you'd appreciate that very much, because you go to a doctor, you want to know exactly what's going on. You want the doctor to tell you the truth. Why is it any different when we come to God? God says, I love you. I want to tell you the truth. Why is it any different when we come to church and the preacher wants to tell you the truth? So, oh, you don't love me. Okay. That's like a little child who's getting whipped by his dad or mom. So you don't really love me. Well, that's why he's getting whipped, because the parent loves the child. And that's what God says in the book of Hebrews. All over in Job and Proverbs, God chastises us because he loves us. That's a picture of God's love. You spoil your little child and get a rotten brat, they'll be a spoiled, rotten adult too. All right, point number 5. People will use you, hate you, be jealous and envious of you, and they'll be bitter against you and even try to destroy you. Number 6. Take your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. First Thessalonians, set number three. I said, number one, all things work together for good. Number two, time will fly by. Number three, great peace. Number four, nothing will offend you. Number five, people will use you, abuse you, hate you, and try to destroy you because you love them. Because you love them. And number six, God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm not going to that verse, but that's what he's given us, a ministry of reconciliation for you to love people. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. If you love God the way you ought to and love people the way you ought to, God will open up your heart in a way to love people that you thought before were unlovable. That you could never think, oh, I could never love somebody like that. Well, that's because you're not in love with God. Because if you fell in love with God, God will open your heart and increase your love to love even the unlovable people that most people want to stay away from, you know. Most people say, oh, I don't want to associate with somebody. I'm not saying you ought to associate and keep company with them, but you ought to love them to the point where you care about them, share the gospel with them, bring them to church, try to help them, feed them, clothe them if you can, if they need help. I remember one person, and I can't get into details right here, but I remember what I was really upset one time years ago after I got saved. Somebody did something really bad, hurt me real bad, and I was really mad, angry, and somebody says, oh, you'll get over it because I'm saved, you know, as a child of God. They thought I would get over it. I said, no, I'm never going to get over this, but they were right because I forgot how loving God was. And you know what happened? A person who did something dastardly and evil, I was able to love only because I fell in love with God. And I'm telling you, there's certain people that tick you off, that bother you. You know what that is? That's an immaturity on your part because you don't love God the way you ought to. And God will increase your love. Look what it says in verse number 12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. Now listen, there's nowhere in the Bible, I said this before, I don't know how many times this series, there's nowhere in the Bible that says anywhere in the Bible that God loves everybody. You won't find it anywhere in the Bible. You'll hear that on fake book, you'll hear that and from pulpits, you'll hear that on religious radio, on religious television. You'll not find one verse in the Bible that says God loves everybody. I'm just telling you. But I'll tell you this much, God will use you and I to love everybody. And their love from God is going to be shown only through you and I. Right now, this whole earth is under a curse and the judging hand of God Almighty. It's not under the love of God, it's under the curse of God. And the only way they're going to see the love of God is through you and I. And in order for us to love unlovable people, we have to fall in love with God. And we have to fall in love with the Word of God. And that is the only way people are going to realize that there's a God in heaven who does love me. Because right now, every single person is under condemnation in John chapter number 3 if they're not saved, if they're not born again. They're not under the love of God. They're under condemnation. But here, God says to you and I, we are supposed to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. I don't care what they've done. I don't care who they are. You and I are supposed to love everybody. Hallelujah. That's what it's, how do you get around that verse? But you have somebody who's ticked you off and bothered you, and you're upset at somebody, and you can't even talk to them. You know why? Because you're immature. Because you don't love God enough. You don't love the Word of God enough. And you're probably maybe the only hope they have to get to God. Number seven. Take your Bible, please turn with me somewhere. John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. All things work together for good. Time will fly by. You'll have great peace. Nothing will offend you. People will use you. You'll have the ministry of reconciliation. And number 7, John chapter number 5. These are the benefits, the blessings of loving. John chapter number 5. Verse number 42. I'm sorry. Well, we'll go there first. John 5, verse number 42. Watch this. John 5, verse 42. But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. We read that verse either last Sunday or two Sundays ago. So if God looks at you, does he look at you and he says, I know that you don't have the love of God in you? You know, you can be saved without having the love of God. You realize that? You can be a child of God and far away from God without loving God and loving other people. You can be a child of God being born again and not love the word of God, not love church, not love preaching. I think that's the vast majority of God's people today in America. So when God comes to you and looks at you, does he say, as Jesus said, I know you, look what he says, that ye have not the love of God in you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, same point. Point number 7 is that God knows you intimately when you love God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now it's either one of the two. Either Jesus says to you and I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Or he says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. If you love God the way you ought to, then you're having an intimate relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ, and God knows you personally, like in a close-knit friendship fellowship position. Now, it's either I know you, you don't have the love of God, or you know what? I know you. I really know you because you do love me. Well, which one is it for you, friend? Huh? Hey, neighbor, how do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat your coworker, your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, church members? Huh? Does God look at you and say, you know what? I know you, and you don't have the love of God in you. Or does God say here, if any man love God, the same is known of him? Do you have fellowship with God? And I'm talking about an intimate relationship with God, where God says, I know you because you love me. Number 8. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Again, all things work together for good. Time will fly by. You'll have great peace. Nothing will offend you. People will use you. You'll reconcile people together. And God knows you intimately. These are the rewards and the blessings and the benefits of loving God and loving others. Number 8, you'll not expect anything back from others and you'll be content with Jesus. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 8. 8 and 10. Well, 8 to 10. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And you know what? Jesus said, be content with your wages. And he said in Hebrews, be content. If you have food and raiment, be content. And the one thing that people are not today is they're not content. The reason people are so much in debt is because they want to keep up with the Joneses next door. Oh, they bought a car. I got to buy a car. They bought a house. I got to buy a house. They bought a boat. I got to need to buy a boat. You know, they bought this brand new toy. I got to buy this brand new toy. Well, if you love God, you won't expect anything back from the others. You'll be content with life and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, are you satisfied with your lot in life right now? Because that's where God puts you. I wish I wasn't in Troy. I wish I wasn't in New York. I wish not I wasn't this or wasn't here or wasn't working here. Hey, well, if God put you there, why are you complaining? Number 9, take your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 3. You'll increase in knowledge and judgment. And that's lacking today because people don't love God the way the Bible says to love God. Ephesians chapter number 3. As I said before, just because somebody says, I love God, doesn't mean they love God. Just because somebody stands up and says, I love Jesus, doesn't mean they love Jesus. Just because somebody sings a song and says, I love God, I love Jesus, that does not mean that you love God or love Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter number 3. You'll increase in knowledge and in judgment. Verse number 17, Ephesians 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love. Comma. This is a result, the ripple effect of loving God. Verse number 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So God will increase your love for him and for others, and you'll learn more about God when you love. Look, when you get married, you learn more about the person, don't you? When you're intimately in love with somebody, you learn more about the other person. When you're intimately in love with God, you'll learn more about God. Chapter number 4, verse number 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. That means you're going to mature, growing up. May grow up unto him in all things, which is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, the church, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That means when you fall in love with God, you're going to learn more about the Word of God. You're going to learn more about Jesus Christ. You're going to learn more about what's coming down the pipe as far as the end times and stuff like that. You're going to see things unfold that people had no idea what's going on. You're going to read the Bible and say, man, I know exactly what's going on. Why is there some big conspiracy in a one world government? Why is that going on, Pastor? Well, read your Bible. It's not a mystery to those of us who read our Bibles. Number 10, take your Bible, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. So you'll increase in knowledge and judgment. 1 John chapter number 4. This goes along with number 8, where it says you won't expect anything back from others. You'll be content with Jesus. Same thing, the same verse we're going to read here. 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 18. There is no fear in love. Amen. You'll be fearless. That's what it says. The reason why people are afraid today, and I'm telling you, everybody wants to put you in fear. Well, you got to be afraid. You got to be afraid. You got to be afraid. There's danger coming. The reason all these news networks are around is to put you in fear, because they want you to watch them. Tell us what the news is. What's going to happen? Who's killing who? Who's bombing who? What danger is coming with it? What's the collapse of the stock market? And the economy is going to go down the tubes, and the tariffs, and the judges, and the Supreme Court, and the Congress, and the Senate. And what's going to happen to our country? And everybody's afraid. Why don't you get your Bible out and read it and fall in love with God? Amen. My love and my joy does not depend on the occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. My fear does not, I have no fear on if the Democrats take over the House, if they take over the Senate, if President Trump gets impeached, if Jezebel becomes president. You know who Jezebel is, right? You learned that enough in a Bible study, right? Hillary, right? You know what? Everybody's afraid. What's going to happen if they pass this law? What's going to happen if they pass this regulation? Do you love God? If you love God, you wouldn't care. You would care, but you wouldn't be afraid of it. Because God says, this is what it says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If you love the way you ought to love, you won't be afraid. People might leave you. It might hurt you. It may sadden you. You're not going to be afraid. The country's falling apart. Obviously, it's just a matter of time. The sodomites are ruling Albany. The sodomites are ruling Washington, D.C. You can see it. The handwriting's on the wall. I'm not afraid. And now, look, I'm not afraid because I have guns either. I'm not afraid because I have Jesus. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to walk down the street not because... We ought to walk down the streets unafraid, not because we're armed, but because we have Jesus. Amen. So, you can have no fear as a result of loving God. Number 11. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I alluded to this earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We have an immature so-called love of things and love of God today. They don't have a King James Bible, but they claim they love God. If you're an English-speaking person and you don't know why the King James Bible is the Word of God, it'll take you 15, 20 minutes online to search why the King James Bible is the Word of God. And the only reason they don't want to do that is because that's how immature people are. They don't want to know the truth. And you can't have the love of God without the truth, ladies and gentlemen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. It'll force you, it'll push you, it'll pressure you to do more than you ever thought possible for God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. I think that's one of the words we defined last week, wasn't it? It pressures us, it pushes us to do things that we never thought we could ever do for God or anyone else. For the love of Christ constraineth us. If you love God the way you ought to, just the fact that you love God will force you to do some things. The love of God will force you to change your life. The love of God will force you to do some things that maybe you thought were uncomfortable before. Hey, it was uncomfortable learning how to ride a bicycle. It was uncomfortable learning how to swim. It was uncomfortable when you do something for the first time. Well, guess what? When you fall in love with God, it may be uncomfortable, but you'll just blast right through it because you know what? I love God anyway. I'm going to do it because God wants me to do it. So you'll do it. And the love of God is what forces you to live right, to do right, to dress right, to think right. Number 12. Are we at 12? We're at 12. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. All things work together for good. Time will fly by. You have great peace. Nothing will offend you. People will use you and mock you. You'll reconcile others together. God will know you intimately. You won't expect anything back. You'll be content. You'll increase in knowledge and wisdom and judgment. You'll be fearless. It'll push you and pressure you to do more than you ever thought possible for God. 11. It pushes you. 12. Nothing God asks of you will be too hard. Amen. Nothing God asks of you will be too hard. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If you say, if someone can show you a Bible verse and a Bible chapter and a Bible verse and show you some truth in the Bible, and you say, oh, I can't do that, Pastor. Understand what the love of God is. This is the love of God. Did you read that? That we keep his commandment and his commandments are not grievous. So what you have today in America, you have a bunch of backslidden, rebellious, and stubborn believers jumping up and down in different churches with pulsating lights in there like it's a disco place, you know, with the purple lights and they dim the lights to real dark, you know. And everybody's swaying to the music. So, oh, I love Jesus. And they're sweating out there, man. But there's no preaching. There's no conviction. There's no invitation to get right with God, get saved, and get baptized like right now because you can die today. But they all say, oh, that's the Old Testament. Well, the Ten Commandments are the Old Testament. That means you can go around and kill somebody? You can go around and commit adultery now? You can go out and steal? Is this working this morning? I mean, that's the Old Testament. I mean, they're just lying to you because they don't want to obey God. They don't want to say, I can't do that. I can't be like that. There's no way I can do that. That's not for today. That was back maybe 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago. But Pastor, that's not for today. I'm telling you, this book is still the light and it's still the Word of God today. And people may change and society changes and countries change, but God never changed, the Bible says. And so when you hear people saying, I love God, I love Jesus, when they're living contrary to that book, they're lying. God's not lying. They're lying. Number 12, nothing God asks of you will be too hard if you love God. Now, if you don't love God, you'll come up with all bunch of excuses why you can't live for God. You'll come up with all kinds of reasons. Oh, I can't do that. There's no way. That's not for today. Okay. Lastly, lucky number 13. Take your Bible, turn with me to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. All things work together for good. Time will fly by. You'll have great peace. Nothing will offend you. People will use you, mock you, and hate you. You'll be able to reconcile people together. God will know you intimately. You won't expect anything back from others. You'll be content with Jesus. You'll increase in knowledge and judgment and wisdom. You'll have no fear. You'll be pressured and be pushed by God to do greater things for God than you ever thought possible. And nothing God asks of you will ever be hard enough. Number 13, you'll be rewarded crowns to give back to Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ when we all stand to give an account of what we've done for God. James chapter number 1, verse number 12. James 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So I want to get rewards when I see Jesus. You better do it God's way then. You know, everybody says, I want to hear those great words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you want to hear those words, then you have to have done something well. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That means if you want to hear those words, you have to have done something well. And at the judgment here, the Bible says here in verse number, where am I? James 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You can say no. You can flee the devil, the Bible says. You can flee temptation. You don't have to hang around people who cuss and swear and smoke and drink and mock God and hate God. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And the Lord shall, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The fact that you said no to sin and no to temptation proves that you love Jesus more than your lust. And God will give you a crown of life that you'll be giving back at his feet to show him, Lord, I just want to tell you, I love you this much. Are you going to have anything to give back to Jesus as a judgment? Or is it all going to be burned up? What is it that you're going to have to give back to him that he's going to give you as a reward for loving him? Well, you know that song that we sing, crown him with many crowns. He's going to be crowned at the judgment with those of us who loved him back. Not as much as he loved us, but at least we can love him back. Tell him how much we love him and appreciate him. James chapter number 2. Verse number 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of the world, rich in faith, watch what it says, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? I don't care how much money you have. Money has nothing to do with how much you love God or not. You can love God with zero in the bank account. It's harder to love God with $1 million in the bank account, though. Yeah, because the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. Well, he's promised to be for you to be heirs of the kingdom of God if you love him. That's a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, not in heaven. But you can be heirs. You can receive the inheritance of the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth if you love Jesus Christ. You'll reign with him and rule with him, the Bible says. Verse number 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. We'll close with this, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, being rewarded with crowns. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse Paul's writing. Verse number one, we're going to close with this. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That means all the time. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Welcome to America, 2018. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. That means go soul winning, ladies and gentlemen. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now, Paul's writing, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, pay attention. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If you love God, you'd stick it out. If you love God, you'd make it. If you love God, you'd pray and read your Bible and go somewhere and come to church, and you give it all you can if you love God, because nothing is too hard if you love God. But if you're backslidden, if you're stubborn, if you're rebellious, then you'll come up with a thousand excuses why you can't and you won't. Hey, do you love God this morning? These are just some of the blessings and benefits of loving God and loving others. It's a road not trodden by most. It's the second mile that very few ever trod. But it's a place where God will be, where the blessings of God will be, where the power of God will be, where the wisdom of God will be. And when you get to see Jesus, if God gives you a crown, you'll be able to give it back to him and say, Lord, this is how much I loved you on earth. And you just lay it at his feet. Are you going to give back anything to Jesus? Or is your life empty and vain with nothing? Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, all of us are guilty to some extent or another. All of us have fallen short. All of us, if we're honest, will have regrets. But Lord, this day we can start loving you until the day we take our last breath. Today, we can ask you for forgiveness for our past, our cold hearts, our indifference, our neglect of duty, things that we were just ambivalent to. We didn't think were that important. And the fact is that we were just not in love with you. We didn't love you the way we ought to. But Lord, today, just from these Bible verses we read, we can love you. If we just allow you to direct our hearts to your love, you said that you would do that for us. And all just these 13 things I mentioned this morning, there's plenty more, but these 13 will transform our lives to make us like lights shining in darkness that we talked about in the adult Bible study this morning. Where people will notice a difference in us. They'll say, wow, that person really does love God, or they love unlovable people. Where they go the extra mile. Oh, dear God in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. I thank you for this church, our church here. I pray that you bless our family of God here. I thank you for folks who care about others, care about you, care about the Word of God. Help us, dear God, to love you more and more, to love one another more and more, and to love the others unlovable. People we've never met yet, to love them before we even talk to them, because they have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. They're going to go to heaven or hell when they die. And help us to love them as if you were talking to them. Because the only way they're going to learn about the love of God is through us. Help us to yield. Help us to surrender to thee and to give it all to thee. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. I pray if anybody in this room is not saved, I pray that they'll come forward and get saved this morning. I pray, dear Holy Ghost of God, that if anybody in this room is saved, they're a child of God, they've been saved, but they've not been baptized in the Baptist church, may they come forward and get baptized this morning. Whatever the need is, dear God, please work on our hearts, speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come do business with God. God's people praying.